can do that simply at the basic membership level, for example. $40 is the basic level. Or if you could do 60, that would be great, or 75, or 250, that's really not quite as important as our being able to count you as one of the friends. So do that this morning. We'd appreciate it a lot. 244-9455 is the number. And I also want to mention again that we have continuing here through the rest of Focus the possibility for you to get a copy of the book, The Passion for Gardening, by one of the guests we had here on the previous hour, Ken Drews. It's really a beautiful book. And if you can make a pledge at the $100 level or above, you may request as your thank you a gift, a copy of the book. And if you're a gardener, I think you would like it. If there is someone close to you who's a gardener, they would like it. It's really beautiful. It's got a lot of his, not only his text and his writing, his ideas about gardening, but also his photographs in the book. So that's good until noon, $100 level or better. That'd be great. Or, you know, if you just want to try us out at the basic level, that's great too.
I wish I had a book to donate.
Rich hasn't written his book yet. He's working on it. He only has a column every week in the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette. Contributes occasionally to other publications, and hosts a little show that he likes to call The Midnight Special, which you can hear on this radio station on Saturdays at 2 o'clock, right?
Right. And no. In fact, yeah, I brought my, I guess I'm becoming, maintaining my major donor status, and I renew Saturdays during The Midnight Specials. I have my check here to give to the management, and some special premiums for Saturday as well. So,
what a guy.
Well, you know, you can listen to this radio station and join and support this radio station. Or you can hear jingles and baldness cure commercials and phony financing deals. Which would you rather hear? A station that brings you intelligent information, speaking directly to you on your level, or a station that talks down to you and gives you all kinds of drivel and phony advertising, which annoys the heck out of you day in and day out? I mean, that's the choice of public radio, is to support something that is worth hearing. And, you know, David, you've corrupted me. I used to listen to music most of the time on the radio, and since I discovered WILAM many years back, I have to listen to you and Celeste because it's the best radio I ever hear. So those people out there who are sitting thinking, you know, those nine people who haven't joined, they really need to get their act together, because this is a very precious and fragile thing, and without the support of everybody listening, they could lose it. And that's something you have to keep in mind. And we're trying to give you, you know, I'm so honored to be on this station, to be able to answer questions for people and not be interrupted by a commercial or a jingle every 30 seconds, that I think people really owe it to WILL to support this kind of broadcasting. And no, I'm not getting paid for this. I don't work here, but I just feel strongly about it.
Well, we thank you very much. And for everybody who has supported us already, we say thanks too. But one more time, I'll say, if you're not a supporter of the station, you can do that now, this morning. Very easily, 244-9455. Call that number and make a pledge. Now, if you have questions about consumer electronics, that's what we generally do when Rich is here on the program. He stops by sometimes in the afternoon on Afternoon Magazine. They talk about folk music. But we're not doing that here. When he's here on Focus 580, it's about things like DVDs and TVs and CDs and speakers and amplifiers and actually, now more and more, we tend to also talk about computer-related things as we have become increasingly digital. So if you have questions on those sorts of things, I know that Rich will do his best to give you an answer. Here on the show, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers. No one will demand that you pledge. We would like that. But if you want to call in here on the show, talk to Rich. Do that. Call the number. Regular number. Same deal as always. Well, we do have somebody ready to go, so let's talk with them down in southeastern Illinois on our toll-free line, line 4, right here. Hello.
Yes, sir. I was afraid that I'd miss you when I heard that the CES show had CES had been some time ago. I've got questions, and I'll make them brief because I know there are probably other people going to be calling in. It's about DVD recorders. When they say that a DVD recorder has a hard drive or a hard disk drive, and they sometimes use both phrases on the same machine, is that a solid-state thing, or is that just a big disk mechanism inside that's infinitely re-recordable?
That's just a computer hard drive, the big disk mechanism, as you say, except they're very tiny now. They're only about 3 inches big, but or 2.5. But It's a computer hard drive that's infinitely recordable, and you can keep recording, erasing, and the lifespan of these things is incredible these days. So the idea is you can get exactly what you want recorded on the hard drive, and then you transfer it to the DVD, so you don't waste a precious DVD, even though the price of those is down to about 75 cents now.
Yeah.
So it really makes a neat thing for editing, and for also you can use it for random access and instant recall of programs and things that you can't do directly on a DVD all the time.
So there is no... moving mechanism there that wears out. I mean, you can just record everything you listen to without worrying about that wearing out.
Well, no, it does wear out. I mean, there is a moving mechanism. The hard drive has a platter spinning at thousands of RPM.
Oh, it does.
Like a computer. But these things are engineered now that they last an incredibly long time. You can probably run it for 3 to 5 years before it starts to wear out. And as we progress, the lifespans get longer and longer. I mean, there's some computer hard drives now that the mean time between failure you can run the darn thing for 10 years without it dying or wearing out. But it is a moving mechanism, and yes, the heads can crash. Yes, things can go wrong with it, but it's highly unlikely.
So a person could fail. The difficulty is that sometimes you don't know what you want to save until after the program's halfway, through. So... I would just want, if you could run it all the time without worrying too much about wearing out the machine.
Yeah, you can, in fact, because the thing is running all the time whether you're recording with it or not, generally. The platter, the minute you turn the power switch on, the platter starts spinning.
Oh, it's moving anyway.
Yeah, so when you push record, all it does is lower the head to start changing the magnetic pulses on the disc.
Another question. Some of the ads say it's, TiVo or TiVo?
TiVo, yeah.
Does that mean that... there's a hard drive there, or do you have to subscribe to the TiVo service in order to make use of that when they say it's TiVo?
With the TiVo, you have to subscribe to their service to get the use of the programming guide, which is the essential part of their package.
But, I mean, you can use the hard drive of the machine without having to pay the $12.50 or whatever it is a month to TiVo.
I'm not sure of that because there are certain interfaces in the TiVo, and I forget now if they've changed it. Some of the other brands, like Replay, you can access the hard drive without actually using the programming service. With TiVo, I'm not sure if they enable you to actually use the hard drive. There may not be inputs or outputs in the conventional sense. So TiVo is sold as a package, and you pretty much have to subscribe. That's where their money is, like the Razor and the Razor Blades. They give you a nice price on the box, but they expect to make their profit on the programming service. Without the programming service, the thing is pretty useless.
Okay, I'll move on. They have the R, and sometimes called minus R, and plus R formats. And is there one that's moving ahead of another? Because they don't seem to play on, I was waiting around to get a DVD recorder, and in the meantime, somebody gave me a Sanyo for a birthday gift, which is it's a plus R, and it won't play on my DVD player. Is one of those formats moving ahead of the others?
Not really. What's happening now is 50 to 60% of the players in the market are both. They have both plus R and minus or hyphen R, whatever you want to call it. And actually, your plus R, see, there's also another complication. If you use just plus R or minus R, both should play on a regular DVD player. It's when you get to the RW that it starts getting incompatible. If you do the plus RW or minus RW, the rewritable disc is where you start getting into some compatibility problems. But the write once disc, where you just make a single recording on the disc, should play on any regular set-top DVD player.
In your opinion, is one preferable to the other?
Not really, because the picture quality is identical. There's no difference in sound or picture.
Say something about the R's have to be finished. What does that consist of, and is that something that's onerous to do? I mean,
no, you just press a button. It's like the same when you record an audio CD in the R format. You have to finalize the disc, basically, which is a two-minute operation, depending on how much is on the disc. It can be longer if there's a lot of material on the disc. But it's a pretty simple operation. It's done by the machine. You don't have to put any thought into it.
Okay. Now, in filling a disc on more than one recording session, I mean, I noticed in some of the things that I've recorded, it will say at the beginning of the disc, so much remains at the different speeds. When the disc comes to the end of the recording, it automatically goes back to the beginning of the recording. Do you have to fast forward past the recorded part, or does the machine skip the recorded part and immediately go to the unrecorded part if you record more at a different session?
On an R disc, which is the write once disc, it automatically goes to the unrecorded portion of the disc. With RW, I'm not sure how it's programmed. I think you tell it basically where to go.
Okay, but now by R, you mean both R and plus R.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether it's really be R versus RW. The write once disc, it can only record on the blank areas. Once it's been recorded, it's pretty much recorded. On the RW disc, it can write over what you've already recorded.
But it doesn't, but on the R disc, it doesn't mess up it goes to the unrecorded part.
It has to, yes, because that's why it's only a write once disc. You can't overwrite something that's on the disc already.
Okay. I had an experience that happened last night. I got some inexpensive, 25-pack of Fuji, which is a pretty good brand of blank discs, and recorded on those. And I was playing them last night, and I discovered that the audio was there when I recorded it, but every bit of the audio is gone now. Do you have any idea on why that might have happened?
Without actually seeing the circumstances, I really couldn't explain that. It's sort of like being the doctor on the air and trying to diagnose the illness. It sounds very strange to me.
I had on a couple of premium Sony discs, the kind that come in the jewel cases and cost $330 each. The audio's still on those, but I've recorded the State of the Union speech, and all I've got now is pictures. The audio is completely gone, and it recorded audio in the beginning because I recorded the Umbrellas of Cherbourg and watched that later through, and it's silent now.
That's very strange, but I wouldn't blame it on the disc. That's very unlikely that the software, the blank disc, would be the cause of that. There's something else going on there, and I can't believe the audio would disappear after you never heard the audio on the disc, or you heard it once and then it disappeared.
Yeah, I heard it. I heard it. A neighbor and I watched the movie through that I had recorded this. You're probably familiar with the movie. And it's that French operetta thing. And so I watched the whole thing, and it's silent as a tomb now. And another thing about this, and I want to know if this is a standard something, or whether it's unique to this machine and perhaps a defect in this machine, when I push record, I get a freeze frame for about 10 seconds, and then it starts recording, which means that I usually miss the first part of the credits if it's a movie or something. Is that standard, that there's a delay from the time that you push the record button until it starts recording?
Well, I haven't used enough different machines to know whether that's standard or not. It does take a while to get everything synced up and all the bits streaming into where they're supposed to be going, but I'm not sure if that's a standard issue or not. Could be.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, well, a final question. Were there any, aside from combos, were there any thing new one more other thing. Is it eminently desirable? Now, maybe this is a personal choice to have high-speed transfer from hard drive to the 4.7 disc.
Well, it sure saves time. Since it's digital, it's unlikely there's going to be a lot of quality loss in a high-speed transfer, and so it saves you some time. I mean, everybody's burning audio discs at 52 times normal speed, and depending on the quality of the disc and the quality of the recorder, they usually keep it down to where they can do an accurate transfer without losing quality. So,
well, Pioneer, Pioneer reviewed in Sound and Vision had that quality, but the review also said the picture was a little fuzzier than some of the other things that machines they'd reviewed. Were there any, improvements or prices continuing to drop at the CES in the DVD recorders this year?
Oh, yeah, prices are continuing to fall, and I'm amazed at how inexpensive they're becoming. And there are computer drives out there now for $100 that record DVDs. And considering that one of the big chain stores had a loss leader before Christmas of regular DVD players for $19.95, in fact, one store was actually offering some for free, the prices are definitely continuing to fall because the technology now is mature, and they can stamp these things out in the millions in China. And so the
cost
is...
The recorders, I mean, that was really what more than the players, what I was...
Right, but the recorders, the same thing. I mean, once you get up to a certain level of mass production, the price just drops precipitously because the technology has been paid for. This has been amortized already now. So the technology is old, mature, and therefore the price is going to continue to drop. And I would bet by next Christmas you're going to see $100 recorders.
Are there is the DVD recorder really catching on? Or I like tape personally, but I'm being forced to DVD because of storage problems.
I think DVD recorders are catching on, especially now in conjunction with hard drives, so people don't have to worry about wasting discs. They can just record the hard drive and then transfer it to the DVD.
Yeah.
So I think yes, they're definitely catching on.
What should one expect to pay for at the discount price for a machine with a say 80 gigabyte?
Well, I don't really want to say because the prices are changing so much that I haven't kept up with the decline, but they are definitely falling dramatically, and I think you can find it well under $300 these days.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for the call. We have as our guest this morning, as part of Focus 580, Rich Warren. He writes about consumer electronics for a number of different publications. He has a regular column in the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette, contributes now and again still to the Chicago Tribune and Sound and Vision. He's also the host of the Midnight Special on WFMT and WILO. And when he is here on this program on Focus 580, we talk a little bit about consumer electronics. So if you have questions about all these sorts of things, TVs, DVDs, CDs, etc., you can give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. I have someone here on a cell phone, line one. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
Okay. I'll try to keep this a more reasonable length. A comment on the DVRs. The one thing one should know to begin with is that TiVo, as well as all DVD recorders, do not allow a digital input, digital audio input. That means you can't get 5.1 or DTS. You check this out at all the stores and all the brands in this town, and they definitely only allow component audio. And I've been told by people in the industry that that was intentional to prevent you from making perfect copies of what was coming in. So a person who, on the other hand, I'm in Muhammad, so I have MediaCom, and I have their PVR, and their PVR does, in fact, take a digital audio from my cable box so that I can record DTS on the PVR from my cable company. So when people are looking at comparing, should they get a DVD recorder or a TiVo, or should they go with their cable company's PVR, there seems to be a difference in that. That was point one. The second point was that in terms of getting a combination DVD player and recorder and Super VHS, I had the Top End Pioneer for a while. That's a very interesting mechanism. When you get those, for example, let's say you're recording a show, and this is the high end we're talking about in price. If you're recording a show on your DVD, and it runs longer than 2 hours, at least in the higher-end models, it will automatically start recording the rest of it on the tape, okay? And that way you get all the hours on the tape as well. And then later on, of course, what you could do is simply copy from the tape onto a new DVD. One thing I also wanted to mention, because I understood what you were saying to the last caller, it's very confusing to people when they were hearing about RWs and R plus and R minus. And what wasn't understood is that a lot of that argument was only related to computers. When you use a DVD recorder, at the end, what you referred to as finishing, you can convert, you should be converting whatever you've recorded, whether it's a minus or a plus, into a DVD video format. Once you've done that, it will play on any DVD player anywhere.
That's absolutely correct. And that's why I should have said that to that fellow, that he probably had a problem by not finishing the disc.
Right. I don't think he understood what finishing means, but I know a lot of people, and they have no idea why they can, watch a movie that they rent but they can't watch something they've recorded because mainly because the manual was 120 pages long, and they never got up to that point of finding out. Also, an interesting thing, and I'm just going to mention this briefly and get off, is that I've gotten rid of all my tapes. I have no analog material at all. But I used to have a couple of VHS machines. And as you know, if you use a quote-unquote video stabilizer, you can strip off Macrovision, and then you can make a copy of the tape. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because that's an analog. That's just an analog Macrovision. It's not the digital. But this is very interesting. If you take your tape that you've rented, that's copied, you run it through your video stabilizer, stripping off the analog Macrovision, your machine will not allow you to record it on a DVD because there's different encrypting going on. There's a digital encrypting. So if you think you can bypass it by you can make a DVD of an encrypted VHS simply by running it through one of these $30 gizmos, it won't work. Now, my machine, which was a combination, even when I went to play it through the DVD VCR combination, I got a message and it says, "This will not play through your DVD player. You need to play this through the tape section." So they're very sophisticated. So people should just not really bother to try to get around that. And I think that they should look into their cable companies more. Mediacom, I just got this week, their newest dual tuner TVR. And that will not only enable you to record two different channels simultaneously, but also to watch a third one, so that you don't have conflicts. And these are coming out, and they're really like $15 a month. And with the way the technology keeps changing so rapidly, I think if you buy one of these products, it's going to be outmoded very soon. And you might consider it's better to pay the cable company, because $15 a month is like $150 in the combination, machines are running around that too. So check into your cable, because you can always give it back if you're not happy with it. But there are many, many changes, and they're just occurring almost on a weekly basis, it seems, in the industry. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thanks for the call. I mean, one thing that I'm sure of, that the last thing the caller said was right, that the technology changes so fast that it's really difficult. I know even for somebody like you, this is what you do. You can't keep up. And for your average consumer.
I go to the Consumer Electronics Show and I feel like a stranger sometimes. This is the first year I got agoraphobia on the main floor because it was like a New York subway train car in rush hour. It was like solid people. You couldn't move. You couldn't get to the exhibits. You couldn't talk to anybody. Unless you go to the press conferences, which I do, it's the only place you can get answers from people because the booths now are just useless. You can't get in and talk to anybody. And they're more interested in selling than answering questions anyway. This gentleman was largely right in everything he said. But also, if you're determined to copy things, now, I don't care what they claim, you do have a right to copy for your own archival purposes at home, to make an archival copy, as long as you're not selling it or giving it away or it's not leaving your household. But you're going to have to do it on your computer, because it's the only way around this. There are software programs out there, very cheap, $30, that let you copy videos on your computer, no matter what the copy protection is. You can copy them. In fact, you can even re-encode them to MPEG-4, which is a more efficient encoding system. As long as they don't leave your household, you're perfectly within your rights. I sympathize with the software providers, the so-called content providers, who worry about you streaming copies down the internet and making copies. But the fact is, and I don't want to get a big tirade on this, but this whole copyright issue, they're trying to swat gnats, little people who make a copy or two for themselves or their brother-in-law or somebody in the family. And the Chinese are cranking out millions of illicit pirated copies and selling them on the streets around the world. And they're trying to prosecute Americans who make a copy or two for their own use or download something from the web. I think content providers should absolutely be compensated for their efforts. I mean, as a writer and everything, broadcaster, yes, you know, otherwise there's no reason for somebody to create because there's no financial return in it. But at the same time, the big movie studios and the record companies are going after individuals who, you know, have a right to have a copy for themselves. And that's why they're going to do away. I know you have other calls and Jack's here to talk about why we need your support and all this stuff. But they're going to do away with compact discs eventually so they can totally control. It's like with certain of the subscription programs that are coming down the web now. You can have as much music as you want every month, but if you don't renew your subscription every month, then you can't play the tunes you've downloaded. And that's what their ultimate goal is, that you never own the music unless you make it yourself. So maybe we'll go back to the 1850s where if you want to hear music, you just sit in the living room parlor and play your own banjo or piano or whatever, because that's the way it's going to be. And now I'll turn the show back to you,
yeah,
gentlemen.
No, it's funny because I was thinking about you the other day because I read this piece in a newspaper about some company that will remain nameless that peddles their music from their website to load into one of their convenient pocket-sized devices. And they were launching this new thing. It says, hey, isn't this great? Every month. Well, you can pick a whole bunch of new songs every month. But then I started thinking, oh, wait a minute. This is exactly the thing that you've talked about. What they would really like to do is find a way to charge you every time you listen to a song, every time you watched a movie. They want to own it. They don't want you to be able to own it. They want to own it because then if they do, you've got to pay per viewing or per listening. And I'm not sure that maybe you can sell that as being a great advantage to you as a consumer. But I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure. Well, anyway, we do have a couple of callers. We'll get to in a second. Jack Brighton is here as well, and we do need to once again remind people just how important their financial support is to WILL Radio. The bulk of the money that it takes to keep this place going comes from listeners. So that's why periodically we sit here in front of the microphones and we say, look, folks, if this station is important to you, if you rely on having Focus 580, Afternoon Magazine, if you listen to the market reports, if you listen to news, all of these shows need your support. And particularly, we do fund drives like this because it's the best way we have of talking to people who are not already supporters. So if you are among them, you know, if you've been listening, no matter how long you've been listening, if you are not a supporter, this would be a great time to do it. Jack Brighton is here.
Let's give the phone number.
Let's do that.
217-244-9455. We're looking for your pledge call during this hour of Focus 580. You know, we're talking about people not – the companies that are producing these websites where you can download music, not wanting you to own them. Well, we produce a website, and we do want you to own the stuff that we allow you to download. We publish MP3 files of all our local interviews, and you can download those. You can put them on your iPod. You can put them on your computer hard drive, and there's no copy protection. We want you to be able to listen at whatever way is most convenient for you. If you're over at the gym working out and you listen on your MP3 player, that's a great way to do it. I do that sometimes. And in fact, I wanted to mention that we're just starting to do this thing called podcasting, which there was an article in the News Gazette yesterday about it. A lot of people are sort of talking about this. It's a very simple way to sort of subscribe to a feed of information, and in particular, to get audio files over the web in a very, very easy and sort of automatic fashion. So we're starting to do that with Focus 580 Afternoon Magazine. We're going to do that for Media Matters and various other programs that we produce here. So we need you to support that effort. This is something that does cost us to do. It takes time and effort and equipment and all that kind of thing. The kind of thing that we rely upon you to help pay for to keep the station operating. Please make that pledge call, 217-244-9455. Let's check in with Kimberly Connick, our outreach coordinator, who is in our pledge center. And Kimberly, we've done pretty good this morning, I think.
Yes. Thank you, Jack. We need 15 calls by noon, and we have 8 in. We're more than halfway there, and that's great news. So call us right now at 217-244-9455. Alan, Sherry, and Heather are standing by to take your call. We thank them. I have some people to thank. Paula from Urbana called in to renew her membership. Thank you, Paula. Ray from Champaign, thank you. Patrick from Bourbonnais, a new member. He was driving in his car, heard the last hour we were talking about gardening. He made a pledge. He's on his way to Florida, and he just loves our programming. He likes the fact that we don't have commercials and that we get information to listeners that is useful to them. And if you appreciate that as well, call us right now, 217-244-9455. We do accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Want to thank Donda from Champaign. She called in as well. And we had an anonymous person who came in and gave us a substantial amount of cash, and we appreciate that. We'll take your pledge over the phone. You can walk it in. You can go to our website, WILL.UIUC.EDU. And hey, if you wanted to get that Passion for Gardening book and you missed it, you can still have it. If you can pledge $100 or more, we'll give it to you as a thank you gift.
Until noon, right?
Until noon. So you've got to call. We've got to hear from seven more people. We've got several new members today, and that's great because our goal this drive is to have 300 new members support WILL. So please accept our invitation to become a friend, a supporting person of WILL, or to renew your membership. But call us right now, 217-244-9455. Just seven more callers who become members, and we'll reach our goal at noon. We need 15 callers again. That's seven more by noon.
Okay. And I know, David and Rich, you want to get back to the discussion, but just one more thing to think about when we're asking you to support WILL, we're asking you to support this community effort. We're talking about new technology, and it changes so fast that no individual can keep up with all the changes that are going on. It really takes a community effort to share information about new technology and the new tools and toys that we're all using. That's what this show is all about. That's what the station is all about. And funny thing, that's how we pay for it, too. It's a community effort. So this is really your community radio station, and we need you as a community to support us when we make this this pitch for you to call our pledge line, 217-244-9455. Make the call now.
All right. Thanks very much. We have about 15 minutes left in this part of the show.
I'll talk real fast.
Rich will talk real fast with Rich Warren. He writes about consumer electronics for the News Gazette. Also has continued to contribute to publications like the Tribune, Sound and Vision. He's also host of the Midnight Special, a program that you can hear on this radio station Saturdays at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Right, 2 o'clock. Okay. After This American Life, right here on AM 580. We have some other callers, and we'll get right back to it. And our next is someone in Belgium, over by Danville, line number two. Hello.
Good morning. I've called in the past and talked to Mr. Warren about something that I'm looking for that would definitely increase my pleasure of listening to you folks. I'm not retired, so I work. But listening to you folks sometimes is difficult in my line of work, make a lot of noise. And I was always thought it'd be awful nice if there was some kind of headset you could wear that you could also attach a telephone to, that you could also attach AM radio to, but yet be able to move around an area. Is there such a thing in all these electronic things that you see?
Something in the corner of my mind has, there are cell phones with built-in radios that come with headsets. So I suppose that you could put the cell phone headset on and then have the cell phone act as a radio. The question is whether it has an AM radio, because most of the ones I've seen are FM only.
That's right. Most people don't have AM anymore, it seems like.
Right. And that's where the problem is, because I have seen cell phones that have radios built in, and they come with these, they even have these Bluetooth wireless headsets, some of them, and so they're really convenient, but I don't believe they have AM radios built in. A lot of that's the antenna issue, is that AM uses a very different kind of antenna than FM.
Yes, much larger.
There are noise-canceling headphones like the Bose, but those don't have a built-in radio or phone, so that won't help you in that area.
Yes, I have one of those.
So, yeah, it's very frustrating. I can understand your issue there, and I'm not sure there's anything out there. I actually went out looking for, I have a little pocket AM I use when riding my bicycle, and they don't make them anymore.
You can't
get them.
No, it's very difficult. The ones they do make are very poor quality.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. They don't care. It's just one chip, basically, in an antenna. It's like the old crystal sets, but a little more sophisticated.
Yes.
It's very frustrating, and I can't wait till WILLAM goes digital in a couple of years, because that'll solve at least some of that problem.
Now, how would that work?
Well, it'll be the same frequency, but you'll hear a digital signal, which will be a lot quieter. And at night, when the power goes down, you won't lose the signal like you do now. It has much better propagation up to its limit, so there won't be as much noise involved. But you'll still need an AM tuner to get it. So I'm not sure if they're going to start putting AM tuners back on things. Or the other option is that WILL-FM will have two channels on the FM frequency. So one of the digital channels could be the FM program, and the other digital channel could be the AM program. And that you could be able to tune by just a little AB switch on the new FM units. And that's coming down the pike pretty quickly as well. So there are things in the works here. And again, you know, I hate to defer, but that's what all these listener contributions add up to, is being able to offer these services.
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, when we talk about these wonderful improvements, unlike a commercial station, which can try to go out and sell more advertising, WILL can only offer them if people support the broadcast operation. And I don't mean to lecture you on that, but I hope it comes down the pike pretty soon, because it'll really be great to have.
So do I. Thank you very much, sir.
Sure. All right, thank you. Let's talk with somebody over in Indiana on our line number 4. Hello.
Hello. I guess a couple anecdotal things, and hopefully your assurance that what I'm thinking is actually happening. Long time ago, when VHS was going on, I bought me nice mid-priced VH recorder, and I did a lot of recording on it, movies basically. And a couple friends found out that I was doing that and asked me to loan them, you know, some tapes so they could look at them too. When I did, they come back and says, "I can't get that thing to track. You got something wrong with your recorder." And I put it back in, and away she'd go. And I thought, well, I don't know what the heck's going on. But eventually, when I recorded something and I put it in my own machine, it did start going bad, in a sense, and I couldn't get it to track. And I was wondering why, for a period of time, it would track on my recorder without any problem, but only any other different manufacturer or whatever, they couldn't get the tracking in. Now, that's the lead-in. The second thing is, I've retired recently and decided to get a lot of bargains I can. So I got 4 VHS recorders, you know, I'm going to use as backup over a period of time, because the digital wave is coming, and, you know, I imagine VHS will eventually disappear. Just the other day, I took one recording for one machine and put it in the other. I have 2 TVs and 2 recorders set up, so I can watch 2 movies at the same time if I want to. And all of a sudden, I had a problem with tracking. It looked like, you know, the little thing goes down through the middle. It has the lines that sort of move around. I couldn't get it away. Then when I did get it away, the thing rolled. So I did another experiment, and with that one, the picture was fine. So I'm presuming that the one that is the sink's starting to go out of it, and eventually that, you know, get the place where anything I record is not going to be viewable in whatever setup I have. Then the next lead-in is they've got these DVDs out now. They're only $1, and I can't resist that sort of thing. Most of it, I guess, must be public domain, but occasionally they'll throw out a movie, you know, some sort of a cult movie, like the last one I bought was Bela Lugosi in Brooklyn or something like that. And some of them are good and some of them are bad, so I presume whatever they take the recording from, whatever tape they're using, that's going to basically what you're going to get. Are all those 3 things I'm talking about true?
Yeah, let me see if I can go through them real quick.
Okay.
With the latter one, the DVD, there's 2 issues. First of all, the original source material, if the original film was poor quality, obviously they can't improve it when they go to the DVD. But
yeah,
also what happens,
you're going to have an excellent bad film then.
But the thing is that not all DVDs are created equal, because there's a step of encoding the analog into MPEG-2, which is the digital format used on DVDs, and it can be done well and it can be done miserably.
Okay.
And you can even see that in expensive movies. That's one movie will look fabulous, and a movie of the same film quality on a DVD will look less than fabulous because the encoding wasn't done well.
Okay.
There are automated encoders they use for these cheap films. They run through a regular PC that they buy from Dell, and that's what you get.
Yeah.
On a great feature film where they really care, a person sits there at every frame. They adjust to make sure it looks perfect on the DVD, and that's expensive. Obviously, if it's a Spielberg or somebody who insists on that, then they have to do it. But if it's Bela Lugosi in Brooklyn, nobody's watching over their shoulder. They run it through the PC, and it's in MPEG-2, and it's on your DVD, but it's a lousy transfer because the digital encoding wasn't done right.
Yeah.
Your first question about your VCR, VHS is notorious for this. Tracking between machines was never truly standardized. I mean, they got it to a tolerance where pre-recorded films were viewable, but you can go from one machine to another and you'll see differences. And if a machine is on the edge of tolerance, that is, you can rent the movie, it plays on that machine, but when you make a recording of that machine and you take it to play another machine, it's off because the machine is a closed system so that what you record on it should play on it.
Yeah.
Because the heads are in the same alignment.
Yeah.
But the minute you take it to another machine, even if it's a little bit off, if you're at the edge of the tolerance, the other machine's not going to reach it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. If one machine's at one end of tolerance, the other machine's the other range of tolerance, it's just not going to track.
Yeah.
So it's nothing that particularly unusual what you've discovered. And your middle question, I can't remember. But
yeah. Well, that pretty well takes care of all I was doing was a recorder I bought some time ago, and I've used a lot of recording. And then when I made this decision to have two and two of everything, the other night I put it in the other recorder, the one that's on the top, and I had a hell of a trouble with tracking. I get it gone, and maybe a half hour later it started whooping around, you know. So the original one must be on its edge now, I guess, so the sync and everything is what's going on. So
yeah, so it's also interdependent with your TV, because some TVs are more tolerant than other TVs when they take the signal from the VCR. And the pity is that 10 or 15 years ago, you could find a good technician who could adjust everything to be right in the middle of the tolerance range. You know, there are test tapes where they can make the adjustments.
Yeah.
Now, go out and find a good technician. And if you do, he or she is going to charge you $100 to make the adjustment on your $100 machine.
Right,
so,
I found that out the hard way here in town. Yeah. It's $80 here just to take the thing in and let them look at it. For, you know, $80 to hit the counter. And then from then on, it's whatever. The last time I did that, they were told me that parts were no longer made. Sorry, you know, it cost me a fair amount of money. So I'm just sort of buying cheapies things now and hope they last for a while. And, well, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. Well, just now here, for people who, for whom this is all a great mystery, is the bottom line that if you have a VCR at home that uses tape, and that you're using that to record your favorite program and watch it sometime later, that the day is coming when you're not going to be able to do that anymore. And what you are going to have is some kind of device that is like a computer hard drive, whether it belongs to the cable company, whether it belongs to you, whether you subscribe to a service, whether or not, that's the way that you are going to, or if you have a home computer, you could actually do it on your home. One way or another, that's the way people are going to do that kind of recording that in the old days we used to do with tapes.
Absolutely. There'll still be VHS machines around for 4 or 5 years, but it'd be increasingly rare. And if you want to lay in a supply like this gentleman has, because you really love your tapes and you don't want to take the time to transcribe them to DVDs, I mean, obviously you can plug your existing VHS machine into your DVD recorder. Of course, as the earlier caller pointed out, certain kinds of Macrovision and things like that, it's just so infuriating that you can't just really transfer a movie for yourself without all these copy protection schemes leaping in and interfering with it. But that's the way it's going to be. DVDs will be with us for another decade at least, because as high-definition DVD is released at the end of this year, whichever system, whichever format comes to fore, they will be backward compatible with existing DVDs. So you'll be able to play your DVDs you buy today on your HD DVD player for another, you know, how long as they are existing. So that at least you don't have to worry about for a while.
So that, and that, so for now, for rental, obviously what most people are doing is they're going to DVD. And I think for most people, just the a run-of-the-mill DVD player played through their television looks good, noticeably better than tape. And then, of course, depending on how much money you want to spend, you can have higher-end systems, bigger screens, you can have surround sound, you can have all of that kind of stuff if that's what you want. But you think that for renting movies or for owning pre-recorded movies, that the video disc, whether it's the format that we have now or it's something that will essentially look the same, but I mean, the object will look the same, but the picture quality will be even better, that's the medium, at least for foreseeable future, when we go down to Blockbuster or wherever it is people go to rent stuff, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, except I wouldn't buy stock in Blockbuster at this point, because at some point in the next 5 or 6 years, as the cable companies become more sophisticated, every time I turn around, I'm also served by Mediacom. They have upped the download speeds of their cable. And at some point, the download speed, the broadband is going to be so broad and so fast that it will be, you sit at your computer and you type in the name of the movie you want. You want to see Save It, just type in Saving Private Ryan, and suddenly, zap, an hour later, it's on your hard drive. And you pay them the rental fee or whatever fee they're going to charge you, and you have 72 hours to watch it. Then it evaporates from your hard drive, becomes impossible to play again or whatever. And that's the way it's going to work. And there's going to be, I guess, collectors will still have access to DVDs for a while, so they can have a library of movies, or you can, you know, perhaps burn it yourself and pay the extra fee. You know, if you want to watch it, it's $4, but if you want to keep it in your library, it's $29.95, mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And then it won't evaporate in 72 hours. So
do you think that the brick and mortar store where you would either rent or buy music, movies, eventually, that just won't, except maybe for a very specialized kind of clientele, that those stores just won't exist, and that what people will do is they will essentially, that stuff, they want music, they want movies, they want whatever, that it's going to be downloaded that way?
Oh, absolutely. There's no reason to have brick and mortar. I mean, unlike with books, where people like the actual process of reading and of holding the paper and the book in their hand. With media, if you, say, get a movie from the internet, you can press another button, and all the graphics and all the notes and all the stuff that you get in the box come down on your computer anyway. You can print it out in your color printer and have lavish notes. You know, you pay 50 cents extra for that or whatever. So there's going to be no advantage. And if you want to buy the physical object, the actual polycarbonate disc in a box, you'll simply go online somewhere like Amazon.com and order it online anyway. Mm-hmm. So the retailers, I'm not sure what the future is for this. It's very interesting. And I, you know, we've already seen mortality in our town. The record service is gone and yeah. Partially killed by the big box stores and partially just by people downloading. And not even necessarily illegally downloading, but just the whole process now. Why gasoline's $2 a gallon? Why go out to the mall and spend a gallon of gas going back and forth and all that when you can sit in your home and press a button and the same thing comes down into your computer?
Yeah. Okay. We have a couple callers here. We're almost out of time. I want to try to get at least one or two folks here who are in line for the first time. Let's go to Chicago, and that would be line number 4. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yes.
I wondered if Rich could tell me, when are we going to see a machine you can buy that will integrate the personal computer, the television, and the telephone in one gizmo?
Oh, I think it already exists. There are Microsoft Media Center computers out there that integrate everything, and they're available now. They're not terribly expensive, and it's all a matter of how you want your stuff arrayed and delivered and combined. You can even have it wirelessly spread throughout your house with Wi-Fi. There are media servers where you can watch your audio video anywhere in the house from your computer, and if your phone rings, the caller ID comes up on the screen, and you can push a button. Of course, now we're going to have voice over internet protocol telephones, so you won't even have a regular telephone. It'll be all done over the internet, and it's all happening now, and there are boxes out there that'll handle it all.
I see. And also, I know you have another call, and I want to get to him. I heard it was possible to record a television program over the and then send it to your friend over the internet. Is that true?
Well, it is possible. It's not necessarily legal, but it's possible.
I see. Well, I don't imagine the networks would like that too much.
No, they don't. And that's why we're facing all these incredible hurdles that are up ahead for average users.
I see. Same thing for movies, too, I believe.
Oh, yeah. They're terrified of that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to have to stop here because we have used our time for this morning. But we promise that it won't be so long before we have Rich on again. It's been a while. And we really appreciate him being here. I know people appreciate the chance to ask questions. So sometime here, maybe again in another couple months, we'll have you come back. And we won't have to be doing any pledge breaks in the show. So it'll just be you and me.
Okay. Well, I still think they should pledge anyway.
Well, I think so, too. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Rich Warren, he has a regular column in the News Gazette, contributes to other publications. And by the way, there's this show that we call The Midnight Special. Oh, yeah. It's on Saturdays, 2 o'clock. If you like folk music, singer-songwriters, humor, it's a nice show. So if you've never heard The Midnight Special, where you been?
We have a very special premium this Saturday during the fun drive, too. So
tune in. This coming Saturday, here on AM 580, 2 o'clock, The Midnight Special. Thank you, Rich. Thank
My
you
pleasure.
Much. We have a minute or two here to remind people just how important their support is for the station. By the way, today's programming is made possible in part by a grant from Birkenstock Concepts by Heel to Toe, downtown Urbana, for over 25 years, offering all sizes and widths of Birkenstocks, from clogs and sandals to work dress and sport shoes. Birkenstock Concepts offers repair and modification services and a certified podorthist and orthotist on the staff. Focus also made possible with support from the Art Mart in the Lincoln Square Mall, Urbana, and the folks there at the Art Mart are pleased to support public radio in East Central Illinois. We hope that you would also be pleased to support public radio by calling in and making a pledge at 244-9455. Let's just go right to, why don't we go right to Pledge Central, and Kim Cronick is standing by there, because we want to give people last opportunity here to call in for Focus. If they would like the gardening book we mentioned a little bit earlier, they can still do that. How are things going there in Pledge Central?
Well, they're going well, David. We've heard from 9 callers who've become members during the Focus 580 today. We have a goal of 15, so we need to hear from 6 more folks by noon. 6 more people need to call 217-244-9455 and become a member. We have 4 of the 9 have been new members, and we are pushing new memberships this drive because that keeps our base strong and expands and helps us meet the demands of the lack of funding and all of that. And so we rely on you, the listener, a lot more, and we know you can do it. You can help us. You appreciate the service. Who else does call-ins about topics of interest to people other than us? Electronics, gardening, health, you name it, car repair, financial investments, and politics and issues of all kinds. We have it here, and we let you participate by calling in. Now we'd like you to participate with a financial pledge, 217-244-9455. Just 6 more callers. If you miss the gardening book, as David said, you can still get it for a pledge of $100 or more. We'll send you The Passion for Gardening. But what it's really all about is supporting your radio station. You know that radio has the power to change people's lives. WILL is responsible to change people's lives for the better. That's part of our mission. So please accept our invitation to become a supporting friend of WILL or renew your membership. Give a call, 217-244-9455. Quickly, you can use your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express. We've had people in their cars call us in. It's very fast. You know, you'll be safe while we take your pledge, your pull over. Hey, if you're at your computer, WILL.UIUC.edu. We can take your pledge that way, too. The phones are ringing. I think we're going to make that goal.
Okay. Well, we need the support of everyone who listens to the station throughout the day. Whatever your favorite program or programs might be, the station really, really needs your support. If you're not a financial supporter of the station, now's the time to sign on. 244-9455. That is the number to call. We have some volunteers who've been very generous and given us some of their time. We'll answer the phone. It will take a minute or two, and it will be very important to us here at WILL. Well, that's it for us here on Focus 580, but of course there's much more coming up throughout the rest of the afternoon. The next program is The Afternoon Magazine, and the host, Celeste Quinn.
Thank you, David. Coming up today in the 1 o'clock hour of The Afternoon Magazine, we'll talk about cats and cat behavior with feline behaviorist Pam Johnson Bennett. She joins us this afternoon following the 1 o'clock news. She's written 6 award-winning books on cat behavior, including Think Like a Cat. Her latest is Cat Versus Cat, Keeping Peace When You Have More Than One Cat. Pam Johnson Bennett joins us this afternoon at 1:06 Central Time. Let's take a look at prices now on the Chicago Board of Trade and Mercantile Exchange. March wheat, $2.92, that down 1/2. May, $2.99.5, down 1.5. March corn, $1.96, down 1/4. May, $2.03.5, down 1. July, $2.10.75, down 1/2. December corn, $2.27.75, down 3/4. March beans, $5.03.5, up 2.25. May, $5.06, up 1. November beans, $5.24, that up 1.25. March meal, $1.50.70, up $1. March oil,